This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama.
We have to take this more seriously, and we've got to attack it because it's a tragedy and a huge public health problem.
That's Tom Condon. He writes about urban and regional issues for the Connecticut Mirror. He gives us a behind-the-scenes look at the significant role road design plays in the high pedestrian fatality rate in the U.S. and what policymakers are trying to do about mitigating that. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Bruce Putterman, publisher of the Connecticut Mirror. Here at the Connecticut Mirror, we do more than just cover the news. As a statewide news organization, we connect people. We introduce people from Wilton to people in Willimantic. We show New London residents what they have in common with New Milford residents. We connect folks in North Brantford with folks in North Canaan. If you believe in the importance of connecting people throughout the state, please make a donation to CT Mirror today. Thank you.
Hello, Tom. You say being a pedestrian or riding a bike in Connecticut on our roadways is no walk in the park. Why so?
Because a lot of pedestrians and bicyclists are hit by cars. It's a scandal. It's amazing. I mean, this year, as of April 16th, 21 pedestrians have been killed on Connecticut roads, which is two more at this time of year than in 2023 and 2022. Point I'm trying to make is it's dangerous out there. And, you know, you really have to be careful. And so that's why it's no walk in the park.
First of all, the big problem we have is that the roads were made for cars and not for walking.
Right.
Can you just tell us a little bit about the history of how we ended up with these superhighways running through our urban centers, pretty much? Even the main roads have four or five lanes of traffic that you have to cross.
We call those arterials. And if you look at something like Route 1 or the Berlin Turnpike, these were the highways before the interstates were built. And they were built for cars. They were built for speed. And anything for pedestrians was an afterthought, if a thought at all. I mean, the key point is people drive to how the road is designed, not to what the speed limit is, overwhelmingly. I mean, the speed limit is posted every quarter or third of a mile. The road design is omnipresent. So if you've got a big, wide, good sightline road, boom, people take off. So the arterials, which are these high-speed roads going through town centers, you know, Route 44 and Route 1, a lot of parts of Route 1, traffic moves very fast, but they're in population centers. That kind of road is where most pedestrians are killed or injured.
Now, what I've noticed is that we seem to have more bike lanes now. I know that bicyclists have been hit as well. Having bike lanes, does that also help with pedestrians narrowing the roadway?
You know, I don't know if there's an absolute answer to that. I mean, bike lanes are a step in the right direction, especially if they are protected bike lanes. I mean, if it's just a line of paint on a road, somebody can obviously cross it, and people do. A lot of bicyclists, I remember there were a couple over on Silver Lane in East Hartford a few years ago, they were hit in the bike lane. So, I mean, it's a step in the right direction, but what you really want to have, I think, are protected bike lanes, you know, something with bollards or something to keep the cars and the bikes separate. I think that's the gold standard of bike lanes. I would also advocate that on major arterials, there should also be bus lanes. You know, the more people we can get to ride the bus, the fewer cars there are in traffic and less pollution in the air, et cetera. Buses, for some reason, have a bad reputation. Actually, they're good.
And, well, we have a situation in some of our urban centers, like New Haven, for instance. You talked with Mayor Elliker in New Haven, and yes, he has put certain things in place. Could you just talk a little bit about what the new road designs are in New Haven that they're trying to put in?
I mean, New Haven, first of all, had a real problem. I mean, there were a lot of pedestrians were hitting New Haven in the last 5 years. And the mayor, who, by the way, is a bicyclist himself, has responded to it with a number of initiatives. A lot of the accidents took place on another arterial, the El Grasso Boulevard. And they have put traffic calming, kind of plastic dividers in to narrow the travel lanes, shorten the pedestrian crosswalks, and, you know, calm traffic. They're putting two bus rapid transit systems through the city to get more people to take the bus. You can't really get hit by a car if you're on the bus, so it's a good thing. They're doing a major redesign of State Street downtown with a protected bike lane and shortened pedestrian crosswalks. And I mean, so that's a $6.7 million redesign. And I think that's the idea. They're also, he's deploying speed humps around the city.
The bumps that they put on the roadway?
Exactly. Yeah, some people call them speed bumps as well. Yeah, dropping those around the city. Hartford has done that also, and other communities have as well. They work pretty well. Usually after somebody runs over one at full speed, they don't do it anymore.
Oh, that's interesting.
They get their car back from the shop.
So. And you say they're also having the state DOT commissioner is someone who has had experience with yes. pedestrians being hit by cars, that he himself got hit in Washington, D.C.
Commissioner Ucolito was, several years ago, was hit by a car in Washington, D.C. The story that I have is that he survived because he was able to roll off the hood of the car, but was seriously injured. And then a close friend of his was killed riding a bike in Washington, D.C. So it's personal with him. And he has a number of initiatives out there. So he's trying to get the calm these roads down.
So that's a term that they use, calm the roads.
Yeah, traffic calming.
So you slow down the movement of traffic so that the speeds are much lower.
People are going to make mistakes. But if a car is going slower, a pedestrian has a much better chance of surviving a collision. It's just the way it is. A point I wanted to make about Commissioner Ucolito's accident, if that had been one of these modern cars, these huge SUVs and trucks, the hood's 5 feet off the ground. You can't roll over the yeah, I mean, you know, unless you're an NCAA high jumper, I mean, you can't roll off that. So you take, you take the full Roadrunner. I mean, wham. And that is another, you might call that a design problem. It is, it's a serious problem.
Okay, but the things are being done. Are we going to see a lot more of this being done? Do you think that the tide is turning as far? Because basically we have had several years where the number of fatalities have been on the rise.
Absolutely. Well, there's a major step, if I can just to say that I think the legislature passed a law allowing towns to install speed and traffic cameras. I think they work. But
I believe New Haven is one of the first cities to implement the red light traffic cameras, right?
Yes. Yeah, New Haven looks to be the first, but there are a lot of others in the works. You know, it's a way of getting people's attention. They've had these in some other states. And
it was quite controversial when it was passed last year.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't really get that. It was controversial. And there was one argument that it violated the right of privacy. Well, I mean, what right of privacy do you have on a public road? I'm not getting that. You know, we're getting hundreds of people killed every year. Don't we want to do something about that? and you're right. And the number of pedestrians being hit and here and nationally has been rising for at least a dozen years, which is, I mean, this is, if these accidents, if these crashes, people would argue they're not really accidents, if these crashes can be prevented, why don't we prevent them?
And another thing is safe driving behavior. There's a movement to have people redo their driver's test after a certain number of years. How is that going?
where it's gone so far is that under the law passed a couple of years ago, Motor Vehicles Department is developing a video on traffic safety, and they and people have to watch it every other license renewal. Now, I don't know how much good this is going to do, because license renewals now every 6 years, moving up to every 8 years in, I think, 2031. So if you're watching the video once every 16 years, it's not going to do you that. I don't know. I don't believe it'll do you that much good, but, you know, it's something. Now, there are retraining programs. AAA has one for senior citizens. There are the DMV has them for people who have had some serious traffic violations. They can be go to classes. The question is, should everybody have to do it? And you can make a pretty good argument for it, I think. People like me, I haven't seen a driver's test in more than 50 years. I'm not sure I remember it.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, Tom, before we go, I'd like to talk about this. Mayor Elicker made the analogy that we spend a lot of energy on trying to deal with gun safety. Yeah. And actually, the amount of people who die from gun-related injuries in the United States every year, it's almost a comparable number for the amount of people who die on the roads.
That is correct. About 43,000 people died last year of gun violence, and about 41,000 from traffic violence. I think the underlying problem here is that traffic crashes have kind of been treated as a cost of doing business. You know, there's nothing we can really do about it. It's the driver's fault. Move on. And what Mayor Elicker's point is that we have to take this more seriously, and we've got to attack it because it's a tragedy and a huge public health problem. I mean, you know, between traffic violence and gun violence, you know, they wipe out the population of Danbury every year. Wow. Comparatively. Wow. I mean, it's thousands of injuries, we might add. Wow. Being injured in a seriously injured in a traffic accident becomes a life-changing experience, you know, and I've known people who, you know, 30 years later will refer to the accident, you know, the time before it and the time after. It can be a really traumatic injury. So it can't be taken as a cost of doing business. It has to be everything that can be done should be done. I mean, for example, some of the advocates want an interlock device in cars, which the DOT is testing right now, where you have to breathe into it. And if your blood alcohol count is over a certain level, which they're trying to reduce in the legislature this year, then the car won't start. Well, about a third of fatalities involve drunk drivers. Wouldn't that help? I think it would. DOT is testing this technology now, and so we'll see. We'll see where that goes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Tom.
Oh, my pleasure, Vaughn.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udama, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.